Blog Talk Radio.
Own the Vision Radio. Exposing you to the people, places, and organizations that will help you own your vision of success. Coming to you live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Feeding your mind so we can feed the change that you want to reach. And now your host, Jason Warner.
What up, what up, what up, what up, world? It is Tuesday, March the 3rd. We're already in March, folks. And we're on with another edition of Own the Vision Radio. I'm so excited to have you guys here with us. We're just exposing you to the people, the places, the organizations, just the great things in our community that we just don't get exposed to. So often on mainstream media, we hear the negative things that are going on. But with the Own the Vision Radio show, we want to expose you to amazing things and people that are doing amazing things. If you're not exposed, you can't know how to. So we want to get right into it. The push of the foundation is to be the change and to seed the change. And we're going to seed your mind with change and new opportunities. We have a great, great, great show to go on today. We're talking about men of courage. We have our special guests. We go way back to one of my first or second jobs in college. I don't know what it was. But Mr. Damon Thomas. Damon is an actor, an author, a husband, a TV host, motivational speaker. I mean, he's done it all from writing plays to being on TV. And he has this powerful, powerful new show, Men of Courage, that is coming out. So welcome, everyone, Mr. Damon Thomas. Damon, how is it going, sir?
I'm good. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for being on. You know, like I said, we go way back, and you know, to find out some of the issues that you're tackling with Men of Courage. You know, it's amazing, and I applaud you for that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but talk a little bit about what you've been up to. You know, author, TV host, motivational speaker.
Well, what I've been up to lately is just writing. I'm doing a lot of ghostwriting for different clients, bringing in life story to the world. My first passion is writing. Writing is very therapeutic to me for several reasons. Besides the ghostwriting, I'm involved in co-producing some upcoming plays, like you mentioned earlier, and also on the upcoming TV show, Men of Courage.
Well, you know, we met working in retail almost 20 years ago. I'm dating myself, but it's been a while. So how'd you go from that? And, you know, was it always a passion? What got you into writing and now ghostwriting? You know, we hear in the hip hop world that when people have ghostwriters, there's a stigma. But is that a feel that a lot of people look to, having ghostwriters to help them put their thoughts out?
Yes, it is. It most definitely is, Jason. And the thing about it is, ghostwriting to me became my passion. Going through pain. Pain was my purpose. Once going through pain, I decided to sit down and start writing my thoughts out. And it evolved into helping others get their stories out.
Awesome. So, you know, you go around and speak on some topics. What are the type of topics you speak on right now?
Well, sexual abuse, domestic violence, drug and alcohol. Men just being broken, living in a fatherless atmosphere, and sexual identity.
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much a great segue into Men of Courage. So give us a little bit, what is Men of Courage? You know, when I put out the call for Men of Courage and in owning the vision with Damon Thomas today. You know, I talked about it takes an incredible amount of courage to face demons of your past. So tell us a little bit and tell the listeners a little bit about what the idea behind or the history behind Men of Courage. What's that driving force?
Okay. The history behind Men of Courage is to encourage, empower, and educate men that are battling sexual abuse, domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse, men being broken, nowhere to turn, and living in a fatherless environment.
So when you say sexual abuse, are you talking about men who have been abused or men who are the abusers?
Men who have been abused.
So, you know, when we think about that and even domestic violence, we think of it as a crime against women, a crime against young girls. But from what I'm hearing and I hear over and over again a lot, these types of things impact men more than we, I guess, care to believe. So talk about how you got to that point of creating this.
Okay. At an early age, at the age of six, my first encounter was sexual abuse by an older woman. And then later, at the age of nine, getting through that, getting to Men of Courage, I had to get over the demons, the struggles, to be able to do a project such as this, but the sexual abuse and then going into a domestic violence situation. And during that time, like you had mentioned earlier, we met in retail 20 years ago. During that time, I was going through some domestic violence issues in my first marriage. So that was the driving force for me to bring Men of Courage out.
And, you know, and it's one thing, I guess, it's taboo in our community to talk about. The top taboo things to talk about is mental health. Second is crimes against men, crimes against young boys. And, you know, the courage to have and that audacity to speak about it. And, you know, first I want to say I applaud you for being able to share with everyone some of the things that you've gone through, but take that pain and turn it into purpose and create a platform for other men to be able to share what's going on with them. So, you know, you talked about you've gone through some issues of physical and sexual abuse as a child and then domestic violence as an adult. You know, with this show, Men of Courage, and is it a television show, I'm guessing?
It will be, yes. Yes.
All right, so it's a television show. So what would viewers take from it or see while watching this show?
Okay. Well, first, Men of Courage show is not intended to replace professional expertise in many areas of need. It's basically the platform will be for individuals to find peace through true and accurate solutions. So I want to take it a step further. I want to have the men feel comfortable with telling their story. Interview these men, and then also take them to the next level of providing counseling to these men as well.
Well, awesome. So, you know, how do you go about, you know, as a person that has dealt with and I think in any type of trauma, you're constantly dealing with demons. And because something can trigger something can push you to, you know, a thought of, I guess we're constantly always evolving and growing. You know, how do you reach out to men? How can a man that has gone through something or is currently going through something, how can they on the show be able to tell their story, be a testimony for another man that has dealt with issues?
Well, the first thing they would need to do is submit their story. And then I have a team who sit down, we go through the stories case by case. And then we reach out to the individuals. We do a meet and greet with the individuals no matter what city they're in. And then we move forward with an interview. And it's their choice if they want to be televised or they want to keep it private. But the counseling piece still stays on the table.
So talk a little bit about the counseling piece. You said, you know, we talked earlier before going into the show and having you on. You said that you want to connect men with counseling services so that they can heal through this pain and become more productive citizens.
Yes,
talk a little bit about
true.
That.
And the thing, when I was coming up, of course, I came from a two-parent home, so we talked about everything. But when it came to what I was going through, the sexual abuse, that was one component I could not talk about. So with that being said, I want to use this platform for right now for men. It's time to stop tiptoeing around about the sexual abuse, about the domestic violence, sexual identity. Here is a platform here to help you. So with that being said, I am connected with several counselors and doctors worldwide who have partnered with Men of Courage for this project to help these men.
Part of it is that stigma of fear, fear of what people will say and what people will think about a man that's been sexually abused or a young child that has been sexually abused and now is a grown man. And then, two, a man that has experienced domestic violence. What would you say to someone who's going through that, who's listening? I'm excited to say that we are now worldwide. I was looking at some statistics from the show, and we've had people listening in Germany, in Norway, in Sweden, in Switzerland. So, you know, this is some global reach. What would you tell them that? How to step out of that comfort zone, I guess.
Well, the first thing is, as a man, of course, our thing is we're not supposed to cry. We're not supposed to hurt. We're supposed to be okay. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to talk about our issues. I challenge every individual. If you're battling these issues that we have mentioned, the sexual abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, and so forth, you have to deal with the demons. I truly don't believe a man can be a leader in their community, an effective spouse, without dealing with these demons. You're going to basically, like I said earlier, you're going to tiptoe around the situation. You're going to suppress these issues. They have to be dealt with. Now, at my age, if there was a platform such as this, I would definitely first pray about it and secondly do my research and then get the help that I need.
So say, you know, a person is not doable. What type of, you know, what would be that first step? So let's say, I'll use myself. Let's say Jason is dealing with some demons. It could be sexual abuse, domestic violence. It could be drug and alcohol abuse in their community. What would you say that first step is? Like, who should they talk to? Should they talk to a friend? Should they talk to a neighbor, their doctor? You know, I think these are some of the things that are taboo that people just don't want to address in our community. So who's the first person they should turn to? I mean, you've become a resource now.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And that's a good question. Because oftentimes we feel as though, okay, one, our pastor is a good person, our best friend, and on and on. You just have to come to terms with yourself. Who do I truly feel comfortable talking with? And if you have basically out of all your resources, I'm gonna be honest with you, this is the program. The thing about it is it's hard for any young man to sit down and make a phone call about what they're going through. It's hard. What I would say is this is a very comfortable professional project that has made changes in so many different men's lives as of right now. Everything is confidential. It's up to you. Like I said earlier, if you want it to be televised, if you just want the counseling, we can do that as well. So I don't just isolate men who just men who want to get help and don't get televised. I'm here to help every breathing man that needs the help under these categories.
Awesome, awesome. You know, like I said, the stigma is there. What are some of the signs? You know, we look at people that are dealing with situations. They talk about domestic violence. They're withdrawn. Sometimes they're fidgety. They seem really isolated. I remember in college, a friend of mine who went on to play in the NFL, he was on the Oprah Winfrey show and talked about how he was sexually abused by his mother's boyfriend for years. We just thought he was always a hothead and angry. He got kicked off the team at Florida State. He so many different things that were going on, but no one at that time would have thought he was being abused physically and sexually at a very young age for a very long time. And those things manifest into anger, into rage, into frustration, into violence and things like that. So when you're looking at young men and boys that are, dealing with demons, and what are some of the signs for the mothers, the brothers, the fathers, the sisters to look for in young men that are dealing with these types of issues?
Well, the first thing to look for is anything out of the norm, withdrawal, anger issues. I would say with grades, if there's a drastic change in grades, look at the isolation. If they used to come at home at a certain time, and then next thing you know, they come home at all different hours, that's another sign to look at. A lot of young men, they hide it very well. And the first thing we do is, nothing is wrong with the young man. No one's abusing him. But those are the main signs right there: withdrawal, anger issues. And just isolating themselves from regular family members and friends.
So, all right, you know, going back to the show, you meet someone, the interview, the story fits. Go through the journey, of not only interviewing them, but we talk about exposure so much on this show. And what is that day in the life of putting that show together? What does that look like? So not only will you help heal people, but you're a black man that's doing film. What does that part of this process look like as well?
I would say it's very challenging. Men don't want to talk about it. So you basically dealing with, like you said earlier, that stigma of helping young men. But once
they're interviewed,
we talk about it on the show.
We have the counselors on stage.
We basically set them up with the counselor based on their needs, if it's sexual abuse, if it's domestic violence. And then we follow that young man for a certain period of time. We don't just bring them on, have one counseling session, and then we throw them off to the woods. We work with them for a few years. And then we also work with the family, because you got to understand, the family, they're dealing with issues as well.
So when you're looking at a production and putting this production together of not only the counseling piece, but the production part from your side as a host and a producer of this show, this is something that just putting together one episode could take a large amount of time.
Yeah, it's a very long process. You understand, you're dealing with directors, you're dealing with stage managers, you're dealing with co-producers, associate producers, my co-host. So it's a process. It's a lot of people involved in it. It's not a one-man show. It's not a two-man show. It's a lot of people that's responsible for putting together something of this magnitude, because we have to be careful. We're dealing with people alive.
Most definitely. And it's a sensitive topic. We want to be cautious and cognizant of what the topics that you're dealing with. I kind of want to shift gears, and we're going to come back to Men of Courage, but talk to us about how you kind of navigated. Like I said, we first connected working in retail. How did you navigate into getting into? And I know you talked about it was that part of how you cope with the pain and your outlet. But I mean, there's so many people that say they want to write a book, they want to get on TV, do plays or what have you. It doesn't snap your fingers and magically happen. Like, what are some of the steps that you had to take to say, you know what, I want to navigate into this field? There could be someone working at your Walmart, your JCPenney, your Macy's, your, you know, whatever shoe store, and said, you know, I had this dream of being on TV or writing the scripts for that next sitcom or this next Oscar award-winning movie. How do you navigate there?
How I navigated was my pain. Again, I was going through my first divorce. It was very painful. And I decided to go to a pool and just take some paper and a pen with me and just start writing my first book. And the rest is history. I just continued to write. Next thing you know, I start connecting with individuals who may have experienced some of the issues that I was dealing with or wanted to just get their story out. So I shifted from, like you say, retail, healthcare to a totally different arena. I believe it was always within, but what I went through at the time, it just one of those driving forces that say, this is your purpose. This is what you're supposed to be doing.
So when you talk about that, you know, some folks will say, do I need to join an actor's guild? Do I need to join a screenwriter's guild? Do I need to move to a place that has movies being made, plays being made? Is that, what would you suggest that person is trying to break through into, and they have a passion and they feel that this is their calling? What are some of the things that you would suggest they do that, you know, they could start the writing? Do they submit their things to Hollywood? Do they submit their writings to New York? Do they submit their writings to Atlanta? How does that part work?
Well, my first suggestion is do your research. Like I did. I mean, a lot of people, the first thing they want to do is they believe this is an overnight success, and it's not. The writing, the acting, the films, it's not an overnight success. Look at the areas that's going to benefit you. What I did, I went out to L.A. To learn the business. I stepped out on faith, and I believe that I've learned so much by going out to L.A. But you have to be very careful, especially in this industry today. You run into so many different people, good and the bad. So weigh your options. Have a plan of action. And if it's acting, do your research for acting. Because acting, there are so many acting classes. Are they beneficial to everybody? No, they're not. So I would say connect to a person that you can truly trust in the business. Do the research. And just go from there. You know, and it's hard. It's one of the things you can't wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm going to L.A. because I want to do Hollywood. You know.
Right. You know, so tell me how you navigated with that, because in that Hollywood scene, from what I heard here from friends that are in that arena, there's a lot of drugs, alcohol, different things that are going on. How do you manage that process dealing with demons in your life? Like, if someone saying, hey, I'm going to write through my pain, I'm going to act through my pain, but there's those other influences in that type of arena. What types of things do you suggest for someone navigating through that process?
Well, my thing is this: you have to be able to make the right choices. I take nothing from L.A. I take nothing from New York. You're going to see it all, like I did when I went out there. I've seen it. But I had to make the choice that was not my lifestyle. I was not into the drugs. I wasn't into the alcohol. I wasn't into the party thing. I went out there for one purpose only. So you have to be able to separate the two. And that's where the problem lies with a lot of people who go and venture this type of career. They get mixed up into the wrong crowd.
Understand. So we're going to take a quick break. You know, every show I give a shout out to Amari the Great and his Pledge of Allegiance to my people. like I said in the last episode, this is Black History Year. We celebrate being black 365 days. When we come back, we'll go into a little bit more of Men of Courage. But right now, Amari the Great, pledge allegiance to my people. Be right back.
One nation under the Most High, from segregation and rights being denied to liberation. This is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. You're blacker the very sweetest the truth. What a concoction of greatness was grated out of this food. Created doctrines of hatred until we fight to break loose. Physically hanging, now our mentality is inside a noose. Black history books I read intrigued as I'm turning chapters of QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Ride for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ACL protesting, those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly appear this smile on my face. I'm just the old ones for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Thoughts of freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my Black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance. Sometimes I feel like MLK in this. Society's biased, I'm not okay with this. With patience. Hard to stand by us, they chillin', breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garveys. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Tavi, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now. Showing that greatness, black and proud, the shames of saying it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carl Bear his peanuts to CJ Walker's cosmetics. Remember movements like the SCLC, even the freedom writers. Now I'm on Phyllis Wheatley with it, cause I'm a freedom writer. So blessed to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His richest mind, though they try, there's no use neglecting it. But thought I was the king, there's no need for me to be settling. Who would have thought the power I possessed was in this melanin? One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white, is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Looked up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next Black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month, because it doesn't need titles. Only the month to acknowledge William Du Bois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream and Huey had to pump cop, when Malcolm was in that window and that Turner let blood drop, when Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered, St. Mills in that rec center, hunted down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember there's power in black. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us.
indefinitely empowered, temporarily exiled, were my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless, they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but we're whipped for barking. Finally, we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a bite. Symbolized a spark, but no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up, so you can stand up and raise your right fist up.
We're back. Damon Thomas in the building, Men of Courage. Damon, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. We're having a little technical difficulty, so hopefully the feedback's not too much. But we're going to keep going into it. So Men of Courage, it's a show about men actually walking into a place of courage, a place that they can face their demons from the past and move forward, discussing the needs for awareness, education, male survivors of abuse, both sexual, domestic violence, and domestic violence is just not physical. It's that mental and emotional abuse. So it impacts more than we know. I was just looking at a news story about a man in London. He was physically abused by his ex-wife, and she literally she burnt him with irons, hit him with a hammer, did all these different things, just like women that go through, men go through these types of things. What would you tell a young man that's trying to get out of that type of situation, Damon?
Well, the first thing is, I tell you, and I'm dealing with that. I dealt with that yesterday with a young man. I tell them to be very careful because your significant other can get out of hand. So whomever you're trusting, make sure you make that phone call. No matter who it is, if it's a hotline, if it's Men of Courage, we need specifics of exactly what's going on. We don't need one side. We need both sides so we can basically educate the situation.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, so where are you all based? You know, you said you come out to folks wherever they are, but where is the Men of Courage team based out of?
Based out of Atlanta.
So folks here in Atlanta, they could reach out to you, and we'll give this again, but tell them how they can reach you right now.
You can reach me at 404-981-5437.
And is there a website?
Your story. It's currently being worked on right now.
Okay.
And how the email can be menofcourageshow@gmail.com.
So give out that telephone number one more time for us.
404-981-5437.
Awesome. And that's menofcourage@gmail.com. That's how people can get out. But the biggest thing is to not live in fear, not to let those demons consume you. It's important for all of us, men and women that are dealing with issues, and right now we're just focusing on the men, but men and women in your counties and your cities, there are resources there that can help you. So it's so, so important for people to reach out, to connect with those folks. We got a number of callers on the line. If you want to ask a question, you can, and you're listening online, you can dial in. The number is 646-787-1768. That's 646-787-1768. when you dial in, if you have a question, you want to make a comment, tell a little bit about your story, press the number one so I know that you have something to say. If you're just listening in, you can just stay there. But if you have something to say, press the number one so that I can know that you're in queue and ready to talk and have a question or comment for us. Damon, we're going to try to switch your mic up real quick and see if we don't get the feedback.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch you up real quick. Damon, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you still getting the feedback in your ear? Damon? Uh-oh. I think we lost him. Folks, that's what happens in live radio. Things disconnect, things drop, but we're going to reconnect back. So let's talk a little bit about what we do again with the On the Vision Foundation. Think of us as the United Way for Black people. What we do is raise money in bulk and seed change throughout our community. We're so excited about exposing you to the people, to the places, to the organizations that are doing great work community and in our communities throughout. And one of the things that we do also is seed that change. You know, a lot of folks will go on a GoFundMe or some type of crowdfunding type of application and try to raise money for their organization. One thing that's in there is the ego. You're raising money just for you. We take a lot of the ego out of that when we're seeding and building infrastructure in our community by doing it as a collective. And we're excited that we're launching the Give 12 project. We're launching it right here in Atlanta. We're going to 11 other cities across the country. But we're literally going to seed change in 9 organizations, $100,000 each, 12 entrepreneurs, $25,000 each. And we're seeding change. And along the way, we're going to continue to expose you to great people like Damon Thomas. Last week we had the Lady of the Law. Before that we had Gary Davis. So we're going to continue to expose you to great people, but we're going to see change along the way. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. And we hope that you share our message with folks. Damon, do we have you back?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yeah. How's that feedback for you?
Is that better? I'm better.
Yeah. I think you're a little better. What about you? What are you hearing?
I'm on another phone, but I still hear a little bit of feedback.
Well, we're gonna push. We're gonna try to push through it,
sir.
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. So talk to us. You know, you go through this show. You're building the script. I won't say the script, but you're building the shows and the episodes through that. How do you do that financially? Is it something that you have people that are funding the project? So I'm trying to think of people who are building their projects. I think we lost them again. I don't know, man. These technical difficulties are amazing. Mr. Thomas, you still there with us?
I'm here. Go ahead and repeat your question. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. So you're building the show. You have episodes that you said that could take a year or more. How does someone fund something like this? We hear about executive producers. How does a show run like this? Do you have this, you know, rich uncle in the sky that says, here's some money? if somebody wants to put their show together, what would they do to go about doing that?
The whole thing with that is, like you said, it's a lot of asking uncle, brother, sister. But the main thing is sponsorship. Is the key. And also, where you can get funding, for your organization. But a lot of it initially was out of pocket for myself.
So are you all established as a 501c3 organization? The Mini Chord Show, is that a nonprofit?
Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. So, I mean, I guess most of the times when people think about television shows, we think about for-profit. I don't know that most people would realize that you could do a television show based off a nonprofit organization. What's different in that process as a for-profit television show and a nonprofit television show?
Well, basically, nonprofit, of course, you want to get the help that you need. All the resources that you have. There's a lot of help out there.
It's hard.
But you have to have the 501c3 set up running. The sponsorship is key. You have to get your treatment plan together, your sponsorship package together, make sure it's professionally put together, and send it out to sponsors. But you want to have a relationship with these people first. You don't want to just send information out to them and just ask for funding. You want to have some type of relationship with them at first.
And, you know, how long does that process take? You know, there's so many people that they may go to a acting school. Is it the overnight success, or was the Men of Courage show even a, you know, years in the making and we're finally at the point that you're building?
It was years, definitely years in the making. And we're at the point now to where we are. We're about to pull the trigger this May for television. And I'll have more information on the channels and the times coming up. But it's a process. This is not you wake up and say, I'm going to do a TV show. It's a process. I've been working on Men of Courage probably for 3 years now.
Wow. Wow. You know, folks, we talk about exposing people to the real life. I was in a conference a couple years back and ended up sitting next to, at the round table, Steve Case. If folks don't know who Steve Case is, he is the co-founder of AOL. And, you know, at the time he had a full beard and all the pictures I've seen him in, his face was shaved, had no clue who he was. And we were just talking about business, about life. And then he goes up as a speaker. And I'm like, wow, I was just sitting next to a multi-billionaire. At the time, he was worth about $3.8 billion at the height of AOL, especially when they were bought by Time Warner. He was worth upwards of $18 billion. And he talked about how AOL was a 10-year overnight success. When we talk about owning your vision of success, and Damon, you're owning your vision of success by creating these shows, writing books, speaking across the country. Don't be discouraged at the time that it takes, because Mr. Case was talking about how it was 10 years before anybody even knew what AOL was and they were working on it. He almost lost family, his marriage, friends were looking at him like he was crazy. He filed for bankruptcy, all of these different things. I'm excited to see that you're continuing to pushing through. Not only is Men of Courage about fighting and dealing with those demons, but it takes the courage to push through the time. You know, a lot of times, especially young people, see things, these internet pop-ups and different things, and they think this was an overnight process. Just like you're telling folks now, it's not overnight. It's a grind. It's work. What would you tell people that say that, hey, they want to be an entrepreneur, they want to leave what they're doing, and they want to go out into whatever that business is? If it's writing, if it's film, if it's acting, if it's what, you know, what do those hours look like for you? Is it a 40-hour work week? Is it, you know, weekends off? What does it look like for you?
It's a great deal of traveling. Major sacrifices. You're away from your family. You're always on the road. It's not a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You get that phone call. You're gone. So I tell entrepreneurs right now, living your purpose.
Believe in yourself.
And you have to be totally committed.
Awesome. Great nuggets. Again, if you are listening and you want to pose a question, give us a comment, 646-787-1768. Press the number 1 so that we can hear you or know that you want to be ask a question. If you're just listening in, stay on the line. We want to expose you to just amazing things. And this is the platform that's been given to us to be able to do that. And we're so excited about helping folks own their vision of success and hopefully helping you own your vision of success in whatever endeavor that is. If it's film, if it's law, if it's nonprofit, if it's you're trying to build the next regional grocery store chain that is black owned, we want to expose you to how to get that done. And then we want to raise some money to help you get it done as well. So we're so excited that, one, Damon, you're with us. Two, that the listeners took some time out on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern to connect with you and connect with us. So, you know,
yes.
Going back to Men of Courage in the show, what do you want your viewers to get out of the show when it goes to air?
I want my viewers to watch for one. Number two, understand that Men of Courage has a purpose.
Men of Courage has a purpose.
And number three, at the end of the day, there will be
solutions. Awesome. You know, we're excited for May. So tell the folks again how they can get in contact with you, your social media handles, how they can follow the journey, follow what you're doing, find out about the books that you've written, the other things that you are writing on. If they just want to get connected, and then how they can get connected to the Men of Courage show, because there are some people that are dealing with some demons and they need some help. Even if they can't be on the show, maybe you can point them in the right direction. So let the listeners know right now how they can connect with you.
Yes, again, like I said, if you want to keep everything private, you can call 404-981 5437. And if you feel comfortable, you can send an email to Men of Courage Show at gmail.com.
And what about you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? How can they get connected with you?
Okay. Damon Thomas Mogul on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. They can reach me there. Any comments, any information they need is on Instagram. Damon Thomas Mogul. They can reach me there.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Also,
Damon,
once they reach out to me, I can also send them a link to all the books that I have done and collaborated with so many authors and up-and-coming authors right now.
Awesome. Well, Damon, you know, we thank you. I apologize for the bad connection that we've been having, but we thank you for, one, having the courage to create Men of Courage, two, for walking in your purpose to shed light on the things that are near and dear to you but impact so many men around this country. And it bears no boundaries of color, creed, religion, it impacts people. And just thank you right now for being courageous enough to create Men of Courage and to be able to expose to the world these demons and the solutions to get through. So thank you, sir. You know, coming up in May when you guys go live with the show, we'd love to have you come back on to talk about what's going on, how people can get connected, how we can follow you through this journey. So we're just excited. We thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. And also, Men of Courage Show also. Facebook page, Men of Courage Show on Facebook as well.
Awesome.
And there's a, if I could maybe fully end this call, I know we have a bad connection, but a few people I want to acknowledge who have been an intricate part to Men of Courage, if I may, real quick. Okay.
Please.
First, I want to thank God for providing me with the courage to pursue a project such as Men of Courage, for one. I want to thank my beautiful wife and my children in Florida and South Florida for their awesome support and understanding. My entire family and friends. Julian.
My co-host Julian.
I want to thank Robert Watts.
I want to thank Robert Watts.
Orlando Lewis.
Orlando Lewis.
Pat Fountain.
Pat Fountain.
And Ray Nicole.
And Ray Nicole. Apostle
McGinney.
Apostle McGinney.
Jackie Johnson.
Jackie Johnson.
Eunice Glaspie.
Eunice Glaspie.
And Shantae
and
Littleton.
Shantae Littleton.
And last, also, I would like
last,
to thank you for having me.
I would like to thank you for having me.
Hey, well, we thank you, brother. Like I said, it's about exposure. It's about telling our stories, walking through our journeys, exposing people to the people, the organizations, the places that are impactful in our lives and allow us to own that vision of success. So, Damon, thank you so much. It's just an honor to reconnect with you. You've been in Atlanta, so we got to catch up. We got to connect. I haven't seen you almost, like I said, almost 20 years, so we have to do it. But we thank you,
yes.
And we appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you. And Pat Fountain, I want to thank you,
Pat
too.
Fountain,
I thought
you
I meant
you
to do
well.
Pat Fountain, thank you for all
Pat
your help
Fountain,
and your support,
you
as well.
Your help and your support as well.
Awesome. Pat, thank you. Long time no see. So, folks, you heard it. Men of Courage. It's a show that exposes the demons that are going on, but provides solutions. It helps men to walk that path. There's so many people that are dealing with things deep down inside. We may say that person's angry. We may say that person's withdrawn, but you never know what a person is dealing with. Like I said, I've known Damon for a long time, never knew he was dealing with those issues. When we worked together almost 20 years ago, he was in a domestically violent situation. You can't just look at a person and say that they were sexually abused. Some of those things, so we have to be cognizant, especially in our community. Mental health is not a negative thing. We need it, we need it, we need it. If we want to build, we want to grow, if we want to own that vision of success for our community, we have to be whole on the inside as well. There's a lot of healing that needs to go on in our community. I will implore you to search Dr. Joy DeGruy's book, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. You can look at it on YouTube. You can buy her book. It changed my life in looking at the trauma that has been passed generational and generational. So think about the demons that everyday people face. Now multiply that times the centuries of abuse that has been done to our people, but passed down generational because there was no trauma or no treatment to the trauma. So Dr. Joy DeGruy, she has the book, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. It's an amazing book. She does talks on there, an hour plus on YouTube, but you will think it's 15 minutes because it's so informative. This is the Own the Vision radio show. We're so excited. Also, Give 12 is coming. Give 12 is coming to Atlanta. We're going to 11 other cities. Give 12 is where 12,000 people in the city donate $12 a month. We take those $12 every month. We put it together. We're seeding 9 organizations. 9 nonprofit organizations will receive $100,000 each. 12 entrepreneurs will receive $25,000 each. And you get to pitch in your category. If you just have an idea, you don't have to have an LLC, an S-Corp, and corporation. All you have to do is be able to articulate your idea to a panel of judges. And you and 3 other people could win $25,000 in that group. The next group is the startup phase, 0 to 5 years. You just started. You just launched your project. You're trying to build and grow. You and 3 other people, so 4 people in that group will receive $25,000. In the existing established business, 5 years or more, 4 people in that group will receive $25,000. But we're not going to stop there. We're also going to partner you with a marketing and PR consultant, a logistics and operation consultant, a finance consultant, and a legal consultant to work with you through the first month of you receiving that money, because the goal is for you to thrive, not just survive. We want to create amazing businesses in our community so we can employ more people, so we can build this infrastructure. You know, we tend to fail in our community because we don't own. And if you don't own, you have no say and no leverage. So we're so excited about launching the Give 12 Project. If you go to www.ownthevision.com, you will see the Give 12 link right there at the top. You can find out more information. And guess what, Atlanta? You have an opportunity to nominate an organization of your choice to receive $100,000. So you can go to the link, www.ownthevision.com, click on the Give 12 link, and you can see all the instructions right there. But we're excited to be seeding change in not only Atlanta, but we're going to 11 other cities. So we'll be in Atlanta, Charlotte, Oakland, Los Angeles, Houston, Dallas, Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, New York, Miami, and Washington, D.C. You know what? I'm getting excited. We may add a 13th, a 14th, and a 15th city because we want to see change all across this country. But we have to start somewhere. So we started with 12 cities. You never know. We could end up doing 24 in the next 18 months. We're going to do some amazing things. I'm super excited that you all are on the journey with us. On the Vision Radio, we're going to own your vision of success. Mr. Damon Thomas, thank you again for being our guest. We apologize for the technical difficulties that we're experiencing this show, but we're just excited that you all spend an hour with us tonight. Next week, we're going to have some amazing guests, again, to expose you to the people, the organizations, the companies, the places in our communities that are doing some positive, impactful things. Until next week, I'm your host, Jason Warner. We're going to go out again with Amari the Great. I pledge allegiance to my people. You guys have an amazing night. Remember to follow us on social media at On the Vision, Facebook, On the Vision Foundation, and the website again is www.ownthevision.com. I'm Jason Warner. See you next week.
One nation under the Most High, from segregation and rights being denied to liberation. This is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. You're black of the very sweetest of juice. What a concoction of greatness was graded out of this food. Created doctrines of hatred until we fight to break loose. Physically hanging, now our mentality's inside a noose. Black history books I read intrigued as I'm turning chapters of QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Rap for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ACL protesting, those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly it appeared a smile on my face. I'm just the almost for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Thoughts of freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my Black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance. Sometimes I feel like MLK in this. Society's biased, I'm not okay with this. With patience. Hard to stand by us, they chillin', breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garveys. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Tavy, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now. Showing that greatness, black and proud, the shames of saying it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carver and his penis to CJ Walker's cosmetics. Remember movements like the
the SCLC, even the freedom writers. Now I'm more finished really with it, cause I'm a freedom writer. So bad to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His riches mind, though they try, there's no use neglecting it. But thought I was the king, there's no need for me to be sitting there. Who would've thought the power I possessed was in this melanin God? One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white, is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Looked up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month, because it doesn't need titles. Don't need a month to acknowledge William Du Bois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream at Huey, had to pump cops. When Malcolm was in that window, that Turner let blood drop. When Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered. St. Mill was in that rec center, hunted down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember this power in black. One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Said you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah. And definitely empowered, temporarily exiled, worth my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless, they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but we're whipped for barking. Finally we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a bite. Symbolized the spark, but no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah.